is catering to everybody today.
He really is pandering to the crowd. There's nothing more pathetic than pandering to our great audience of wonderful people.
Yes, that's right. And I'm going to be short here with this introduction because our next guest needs to go to bed. She is the star of Leafs Lunch, the star of the Olympics. She keeps Gord in line when she needs to. Andy Petrillo joins us on Overdrive. Hi, Andy.
Marky Mark, I have to say, Aerosmith is like a lullaby to me, and I can't remember if I told Malls that Deuces Are Wild is actually my favorite Aerosmith song, or he just completely lucked out with that, but I appreciate the intro.
He's nodding his head. Yes. He knows.
So he remembers these things, which is great. And yes, I'm ready to go Betty-bye. In a few more minutes here. Well, so
I'll be doing the same
halfway.
Tomorrow. So
what's your shift, Andy?
So my shift is I'm up 2:30 a.m. Every day because I also have a routine, Gord, and I need to honor my routine of, you know, waking up and, you know, doing some push-ups and sit-ups and having a coffee and having my overnight oats. And then I walk across the street and I'm in the makeup chair by 4 a.m. And then we are on the air at 6 a.m. till noon every day.
So 6 a.m. to noon. It's not
that's
bad.
Evening. Yeah, so that's evening. Not bad. Oh, jeez. That's evening time in Japan. So when I was in Pyeongchang, it was roughly the same, 13, 14 hours ahead. So my shift there, I was on locally 8 p.m. at night to 2 a.m., which is right up my alley because I'm a night owl.
Yeah.
Now, even though it's nighttime in Japan, it's morning time here. Mm-hmm. Everyone who works this shift, you deserve raises.
Well, I'll be doing the same, but on TSN. We are partners. We're not competing. But what do you like from an athletic standpoint? Because you can go in a million different directions with what's going on in the world and what's going on in Japan. What is the storyline for Canadians going into the Olympics that you're the most excited to cover?
Oh, geez. First of all, I think we would be naive in not saying that, you know, I mean, COVID is a story, but maybe not in the way that some people would cover. Like news outlets, of course, they're going to cover, you know, whenever there's a positive test or anything like that. But the way I would almost cover COVID is how athletes are emerging from this. Like we've all had our butts kicked from, you know, this pandemic, and all of us have found ways to focus on something to try and get us through it, right? Whether it's completely, you know, adapting and changing your business, whether it's diving more into family time, right? And for these athletes, their focus to get themselves, you know, out of this and to keep their minds positive was to always keep an eye on this start date. Mm-hmm. Yes, when it was postponed and they found out the new date and the opening ceremony was July 23rd, this was what they hung on to. This is what, you know, things like this is what the world has worked towards, right? This is why, you know, people are abiding by rules and getting vaccinated and protocols in place, right? It's so we can start getting to these types of moments where you do feel like you can start to emerge. So that's how I would look at that. I think, you know, it'd be just foolish to ignore the fact that COVID does obviously have an impact on this. And then there's the typical no fans in the stands, no family could travel. But to your point about, you know, the athletes and these incredible stories, honestly, Canada is so strong. Like we're sending 370 athletes. It's the largest contingent since the 1984 LA Games. 225 of those athletes are women. This, for the first time ever, is the most gender-equal games. Women are at 49% participation. That's overall. So, you know, near equal there, and that's up from 46% in Rio. So it's so, you know, incredible, that type of storyline. It's incredible that the Canadian women led the way as well for moms, and saying, just because I'm a mom doesn't mean you get to punish me as an athlete, right? From Mandy Bujol, you know, fighting. She's a boxer, and she fought. You know, she fights literally and figuratively to be at these Olympics. And Kim Gaucher as well, with her newborn and nursing and being able to bring her baby there. Canadian women, Canadian moms were at the forefront of that. And then go to the field of play. Pick your warrior, right? Yeah. From Andre DeGrasse to Penny Oleksiak to Sarah Pavin and Melissa Humana-Paredes, the first Canadians ever to be crowned world champions in beach volleyball. Jenna Bell trying to go for that individual medal in diving. There are just so many incredible stories across the board.
Andy, tell us about the form of Andre DeGrasse and Penny Oleksiak heading into these games.
So Andre DeGraff, he's been running on the Diamond League circuit for the last, a lot of these athletes, I know people when they tune into the Olympics, you know, they see them once every 4 years, but they do compete on a regular basis. And for track and field athletes, that's the Diamond League. And he's gone to a couple stops already, Gordon. He's been on the podium quite a bit, way more so in the 200 meter. In the 100 meter, he's hovering around that 10 second mark. He needs to get under 10 seconds. The Americans are just like a factory of fast sprinters, right? So we know Usain Bolt's retired. Who's going to take the crown? Christian Coleman, the American, who was the 2019 world champion, has been banned for missing doping tests. But Trayvon Bromell, Ronnie Baker, like these are guys who are consistently running under 10. Bromell at the U.S. Olympic trials ran 9.78. So DeGraff needs to get there, Gord, if he wants to get on the podium in the 100 meter. But he has been pretty consistent in the 200. As far as Penny Oleksiak, she's been very open about being 16 years old, winning 4 medals in Rio, and the pressure that came with that, right. The expectations that came with that. And she's emerging from that. She's finding herself again. She blew it out of the water at the Olympic, at the Canadian Olympic trials. And I mean, and I love her sass. She's like, go ahead, count me out. Go ahead, do it again. So I love that. She's coming in strong, and she's coming in with swagger, and I can't wait to see what she can do in the pool.
Joined by the host of Leafs Lunch, joined by the host of the Olympics on CBC, it's Andy Petrillo. You pointed out that Melissa Humana-Paredes and Sarah Pavin are world champions in beach volleyball. That is a sport that gets a lot of popularity every 4 years. And Canada... You know, you think back to 1996 in Marquise and John Child winning bronze and how it sparked the popularity of that sport in this country, but we haven't medaled since then. Mm-hmm. I don't want to play it off that they have pressure on them, but how big it would be for the sport if they do medal at the Olympics.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a popular sport in the summer games regardless, right? I mean, how do you beat literally your views are the beach, mm-hmm. sand, ocean, outside, it's one big party, music is going, so it's always a popular sport, you know, to begin with. And we know the Americans, the Brazilians, those are typically, you know, the countries that will dominate in this sport. But you have a Canadian duo who's going in, and I think, so the rankings are constantly changing. They might be going in ranked number 2 now, but this was, you know, they were holding on to the number 1 ranking in the world, you know, for the last few years. And, you know, yeah, I mean, I think it will definitely kickstart a little bit more. It's tough, right, Mark? Because I think a lot of times it depends sometimes on the country you're in. We don't get a lot of summer, unfortunately, right? So people who really want to get, you know, are diehards into beach volleyball, want to get into it, that will, you know, you have to move, basically. I mean, even Sarah Pavin and Humana Paredes, they don't live here, right? They'll come once in a while, but you got to be in hot places, which some people might actually say, Andy, that's not a bad thing. If I want to take up beach volleyball and go move to L.A., that might actually be right up my alley. But yes, I mean, it's just, again, the Olympics, and this is what's so special about it, to your point, Mark, is that people will be exposed to sports they're not normally exposed to, and suddenly they might turn around and go, I actually like that sport, and it piques an interest. And maybe they do want to get involved, or maybe they just want to follow it as a fan. But that's what the Olympics do, is they offer up on the menu sports that we don't typically see on our airwaves.
Well, you are the host of Leafs Lunch, so I should get your thoughts on the Leafs right now, and specifically Zach Hyman. It is not a done deal, but it seems like we're getting closer and closer to Zach Hyman becoming a member of the Edmonton Oilers. How do you feel about the Leafs having to make that decision and saying, you know, thanks for everything, but and you earned that deal, we can't afford it, or we're going in a different direction? As someone with the style that he played, how do you view that that move? Zach Hyman looks like he's going to be a member of the Oilers.
Well, I mean, there's two ways to look at it. I mean, you obviously look at the guy who's, you know, been the heart and soul as well of this team. He's been that type of player, like here in the Toronto market, I just find that, you know, you love your blue-collared players, right? You love your Wendell Clark. Like, that's why they, you know, love your Darcy Tuckers and your Ty Domies. And, you know, I mean, obviously he's not a pugilist in that sense, but he's that blue-collared player. And Toronto Maple Leafs fans just gravitate towards that. So, of course, if he leaves, he's going to be missed. But at the same time, I think, you know, we've evolved in the sport in general to also kind of let go a little bit of that nostalgia. Well, he's a hometown kid. He grew up a Leafs fan. Of course, he's going to want to take a pay cut. He's going to want to take the hometown discount. Mm-hmm. That may have been believed, and that may have been the case, and in some instances may still be the case. But I don't think fans begrudge a player anymore to say, I need to capitalize when I can. Because we know the sports world, be it professional, be it high-performance amateur, you know, the sports world uses and abuses you when it can and then spits you out and then goes to the next, you know, athlete coming on through. So make your money while you can. You know, do your thing while you can. I just don't think we begrudge them anymore. And I also think people saw this writing on the wall. We all know. I mean, I heard you guys, you had Kyle Dubas on earlier. He knows his cap situation. He knows what they can afford. They know the situation they're in. Zach Hyman knows that, too. The Leafs fans know that, too. So I think it was always kind of an understanding that this would happen. What I will say, and this is just my own expectation, and perhaps it's because it's the conversation we had on Leafs Lunch. We always posed it as in, if you had to choose one, who would it be, Zach Hyman or Freddie Anderson? So I think I would be disappointed, maybe that's the word, if both ended up leaving. But then again, I'm saying that not knowing what Kyle Dubas can bring back in, because maybe he ends up doing something spectacular, and it's like, oh, okay, he plugged those holes, it's all good. Mm-hmm. But that, I think, is disappointing if you lose both, right? Because it was always kind of like, oh, either or, who could you afford and keep? But if both end up going, I think that could be a little bit of a kick in the pants.
Andy, Kyle Dubas made it very clear to us that he believes in the direction they've taken, and that he said, you know, a couple of times today he would bet everything on this group being successful. You are the host of Leafs Lunch. You are a Leaf fan. Do you still believe?
You know,
there's your answer.
Okay,
right there.
We can cut it.
Thanks, Andy Petrillo.
You know what, Gord? I actually have you to is it blame, thank, or just you're the reason why I do believe, actually, because you're the one who constantly says, just because it hasn't been done before doesn't mean it can't be. So of course you have a bit of that belief. Of course you sit there and say, well, perhaps they can do it. Perhaps they can stay the course. And we use the example of the Washington Capitals, and everyone's like, you're not going to do it with this group, and you're not going to do it with Ovechkin. And they stayed the course, and sure, we can go back and nitpick and say, well, they made this little adjustment, that little adjustment, but I'm talking about the big players, right? So maybe you do. Maybe you do stay the course, and you have the belief. But I've also have been on record. I said this on Leafs Lunch, and this is when we had the conversation about, you know, Morgan Rielly, right? Because, I mean, I feel like everyone was on the table of, how do the Leafs make room? How do they trade something away to, like, you know, make this team better? And I said, of course I'd be sad to see certain players go and Morgan Rielly be one of them, but I also wouldn't, like, I just wouldn't complain about it anymore, because it's not what's been happening hasn't been working, so I wouldn't begrudge him for making a change. Let's put it that way. Gord, you make me believe. But at the same time, I just am like, you haven't gotten past the first round. Do something. Like, you just need to do something. So I'm kind of on the either or, Kyle Dubas. I mean, I guess I do have faith. Maybe I am answering that question in a roundabout way. It's kind of like, whatever he does, I feel like I have faith. So how about that? I'll be the first to say that.
I don't want to shatter her illusions, but I'm not sure that's what I meant.
I was just going to say, wow, drawing inspiration from Gord Miller as Gord just smashes it right now.
I think the second half of the statement is, just because it hasn't been done before doesn't mean it can't be done, but there's a reason it hasn't been done before.
No, I stopped listening.
Yeah, I was going to say, she tuned you out, which happens, I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyways, Andy, we'll let you get to bed. Good luck with the Olympics. I know it's a grind. I know it's a big haul, but this is also a time that the whole nation gets to see you shine, like we get to see you shine on a daily basis. So enjoy the Olympics, and maybe I'll actually see you in person when the games are done.
That is definitely a hope once I get back onto a proper sleeping schedule. My friend, have a good one. Have a good Olympics yourself. Gord, have a good, I think you're going on vacation. And we'll see, we'll see everybody in August.
Okay.
Take care, Andy.
Sounds good. There's Andy Petrillo, host of Leafs Lunch and host of the Olympics on CBC. You inspire people, Gord. What can I say?
That's me. You'll have fun. I mean, it's great. I mean, I was lucky to host the Olympics on site in Sydney. Mm-hmm. So I was on during the day in Sydney, which was fantastic.
Which everyone says is like their favorite Olympics. A lot of people do it.
It was the last... It was the last Olympics before before 9/11.
9/11, yeah.
And so everything changed after that. And obviously, it was a tremendous Olympics. I would say this. There's lots of pessimism before these games. There's always pessimism before the Olympics. There's always. Now, things are obviously different this time around with COVID, but I was in London in 2012 when they weren't going to work. It wasn't going to happen. You know, I was even in Sydney, is the traffic going to be? That was the first one where they put all the venues in one place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the traffic's going to be terrible. It's not going to work. You know, is Salt Lake City going to come off? You know, remember flying in there the day of the opening ceremony and people not sure it was going to, you know, is there going to be a terrorist attack? So once the games get going, it will be different with no spectators. That is...
Yeah, you can't hide from that.
You can't hide from that. There's no question.
There's a reason why you brought up Andre Degrasse, because he will, you know, knock on wood, be in the finals for the 100 meters, and that is the marquee event.
There's nothing like it.
And you called it in 2012, that building with the energy, and you know, those the competitors are going to be fantastic, but you can't replicate the energy of that building.
So it goes from being, I mean, at the Olympic, I was in Rio for the 100 meters as well, and you go to a stadium with 110,000 people in it that is dead quiet. I mean, it's completely quiet. And then the gun goes off and this roar goes up.
Yeah.
That is just, it's like nothing you've heard in your life. Yeah. And it's just and we'll miss that. But I think we need